Ooh, welcome back. John Bacon on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. You are listening to The Big Show with yours truly, Mr. Mark Copeland, laying down some knowledge, and of course, Ben Bach doing all he does. Tons of research. I get a stack of papers when I show up from Ben Bach with everything already covered. Makes us look smarter than we are, and I always appreciate that. Speaking of which, a caller called up Greg in the interim, and I'm with Greg Dooley of mvictors.com. And he does a lot of great U of M stuff, including a lot of historical stuff. We're talking about the 1909 game. That was pretty fascinating, as well as the Willis Ward incident of 1934, a fascinating case that was well ahead of its time in many ways, the issues at hand there. But in the meantime, a caller calls up and tells you
that Norm Daniels was football director, then athletic director at Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut. I did know he was a football coach. I'm not sure I knew he was AD, but that's great. In fact, when I found him online and knew he was still with us, it was actually at his 100th birthday celebration at Wesleyan University from like one of the alumni pages, and they had a picture of him at the party. It was very cool.
Oh, God bless him. Of course, Wesleyan in Middletown, Connecticut. I've been there. My dad was an alum of that school. And back then, almost all football coaches were the ADs. And that was the model at Michigan until Don Cannon became the AD in 68.
This is an interesting illustration, though. When you write these pieces, especially on a blog, where it's interactive and people come in, the story will evolve. You'll find people that know some other angle or some interesting nugget, and they'll share that with you. And I think the piece just gets better. Something you really can't get in a newspaper.
Very true. In fact, I'm new to the blogging world. Did the piece on ESPN, Bob Page, well-known to Ann Arbor listeners, of course, local legend. He started out at a live 24-hour sports broadcast in Michigan in the 60s that was short-lived, didn't work, and then ESPN Radio in 81, and he told me that the Rasmussens, Bill and Scott, who founded ESPN, were jerks and still owe him money.
Bob said someone was a jerk. Huh. He's an interesting guy.
No, Bob's got his opinions, but they tend to be well-founded.
And all right.
Anybody who owes you money probably is a jerk. That's I think, fair to assume.
That's fair.
I felt less bad about what happened to the Rasmussens when Disney took over their baby, and, of course, they get very little credit nowadays, and they're out of the loop. I felt at first sorry for them, but if they're jerks, then maybe not so much. So more history, some more gems that you've dug up on mvictors.com.
You know, back to the theme of sometimes when you pull the covers off, things aren't you know, always so rosy as you might say. I've come across some things, and I think it's widely known that Fielding Yost had some flaws. And but I think the more I learn about Yost, I think this is mostly a really great man, and his heart was in the right place. And of course, he's really the founder of our athletic program. But kind of moving through history, I've seen some things. You know, we talked about the Ward incident, which is a little ugly. Kind of rolling up through, there was a copy, an original copy of the Victors sheet music. It wasn't an original, but it was printed. Louis Elbel's The Victors, sometime around the turn of the century, and it started a conversation about the origin of the Victors and a couple other bloggers, and I don't know which one's offhand, but asked the question. In fact, it might have been Tim Sullivan, who was on earlier, asked me the question. Is, hey, Greg, I've heard that may have been ripped off, or the tune to the Victors may have had some other owner. And long story short, there clearly is there's a song by a gentleman named George Rosie that absolutely is the chorus of the Victors. There's no denying it. In fact, I think I had the MP3 on my site. Now, he and Elbel were roommates. And
at Michigan.
Or
in Chicago, perhaps.
I think it was in Chicago. Maybe Michigan, but I think Chicago. And the copyright laws were a little different back then, and I think there was more collaboration when songs were being created. So, you know, is this a scandal? You know, I don't know, but clearly, you know, Elbel wasn't the sole composer of the Victors. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I've heard students of mine in Tim Sullivan's class, music students, marching band members, say that this very thing, that there's some question as to the origins of the song. And so if these guys were friends, it's not as scandalous as I thought at first. If they were friends and collaborators, then my guess is George Rosie. Is that his name?
I think so. That's from memory.
And he might not be as upset as perhaps a guy from the West Coast saying, hey, dude, you're ripping off my USC fight song.
Hey, man, that's not cool. Yeah, I don't think that's what's going
on. Our national anthem, the U.S. national anthem, used to be a British drinking song.
There you go.
So Francis Scott Key is not quite the same thing. Of course, those guys are probably ticked off at Francis Scott Key. So what do you think the truth is?
The truth about the victors?
Yeah.
I think it was borrowed from his friend, and I'm guessing he knew about it or blessed it or whatever. I don't think it's a big deal. But
is there any response from George Rosie about, hey, I'm the guy who wrote this song?
I'll speak for him, and I'll just say he's okay with it. How about that? He's not around.
Legally, at this point, you can probably do whatever you want as far as that goes. So
yeah, so. But there's other thing. I mean, digging through history, you know, those who stay will be champions. This popped up on MGO blog. In fact, that is a chapter in one of Bear Bryant's books from early 1960s. So, you know, and I don't think Bo gave that to Bear Bryant, and I don't have a problem with that either. It's you know, Bo made it what it is for us in that incident as he was preparing his team for his first season. So I don't have a major issue with that.
I've heard that as well. I think MGO blog unearthed that one, right?
And
Victor's did.
Actually, I saw it first on Brian's site. So
there you go. We're talking about Brian Cook of mgoblog.com, and of course, we're talking to Greg Dooley of mvictors.com. Along those lines, the famous phrase, winning is not everything, it is the only thing, came from a movie in the 1930s in L.A., which was apparently a very crappy movie. But if you get it, David Marinus's great book, When Pride Still Mattered, it is by far the best biography of Vince Lombardi. One of the best biographies you read about anybody anywhere. It's the same guy who wrote the Pulitzer Prize-winning book on Bill Clinton, first in his class. This guy's in that category. You read, there's a very convoluted history to that famous phrase. Most phrases came from somewhere. Very few were originally coined by the people who ended up making them famous. It's quite common.
Absolutely, and I'm okay with that. And you know, it's our history. It's very interesting. It's interesting stuff. And you know, again, you go back through time, you find these things, and to me, it's fascinating. And you know, one of the things you asked me before the show is what do readers like, and what's popular for readers. And I don't think the history is the thing that naturally they jump to. I think fans of this program, especially younger fans, they want recruiting updates, and they want to know what happened wrong in the game and how to fix it. And it's kind of a forward-looking approach. But I do think that Michigan fans and fans in general are selling them short for not really embracing the history. I think as you get older, you have an appreciation for it. But it's an incredible asset that we as Michigan fans have. And it's out there. Branch Rickey, the guy instrumental in bringing Jackie Robinson, you know, breaking the color barrier, Michigan coach. In fact, he was signed.
Baseball coach, sorry.
He was signed days after the season, 1909 season. And I actually saw his contract signed, contract at the Bentley Library when I was there recently. So
St. Louis Browns, I believe.
Again, he came to coach at Michigan. So what you're saying, he came from the Browns. Yeah, this is when
his coaching
joined.
Contract.
Yeah, his coaching contract for Michigan. But anyway, things like that. I mean,
speaking of which, we just finished Chris Cook being the producer for it. Finished a documentary for the Big Ten Network on Branch Rickey and Jackie Robinson, interviewing Jimmy Breslin, Dan Okrent, David Marinus. We just talked about him. Eugene Robinson from MSNBC. You see him on there a lot. A fascinating story. This guy, Branch Rickey, by the way, who long thought to bring an African-American into baseball, Major League Baseball. He was a staunch conservative who hated FDR, the New Deal, welfare, the whole bit. He just felt this was the right thing to do and, not least, would help him win baseball games.
That was a big part of it.
The guy was competitive. Your site is very popular, though. I would not sell it short, even though recruiting does drive, as Brian would tell you, as well as Tim. It does drive the blogs. People do obviously find your site, mvictors.com.
It's, you know, I think I have a pretty good base of fans. It's in readers. It's you know, it's not outwardly a goal. Some people do this professionally. This is purely a hobby for me. It's what I enjoy. But you always, you know, always like to see people read or say they've heard about your story, or I know, you know, some former players and said, hey, I saw what you wrote, you know, about that piece in the 60s. That was pretty cool. And that's always great to hear. That's always great to hear.
Biggest story so far with the biggest response?
Easily. It's funny. Is the Corey Tropp incident on the ice, no question. I happen to be sitting in my seats in section 22, which I'm a happy hockey season ticket holder this year for the Michigan State game. I happen to have my camera, which is sitting right here with me, rolling, and I got a video from an angle of the hit, and it kind of put the stills out there. And, you know, people, I don't think people like to read about hockey that much in general. Certainly not compared to Michigan football, but every major hockey blog and site and forum linked to those sites, and my traffic literally looked like a hockey stick for those
spiking
couple of days.
Right up. That
yes,
is
it did.
The shaft, I believe, going
correct
northward.
Yeah, that was a crazy thing that happened over the weekend.
Well, to back it up, the situation was.
Oh, sure. With the incident.
Yeah. Steve Kempfer.
Oh, sure. I think people who are hockey fans know, but, you know, Michigan player Steve Kempfer late in the game had a collision with one of the Michigan State players on the ice, took off down the ice, down the rink, and he was taken down from behind by, I think, Andrew Conboy. And yeah. Corey Tropp went ahead and took a couple of good whacks at him. And one thing my video show or still show is that he actually looked like he cocked, took a good look, and went ahead and whacked him anyway. So
your footage there was essential to his penalties. It's seeing him cock the stick, think about it, and then go in. It's not a spontaneous turning around with the stick, which is still bad and dangerous. But
the guy was down already. That's the problem. He was already down.
The guy was unconscious already. That's the scariest part. Or at least he wasn't unconscious, but he looked to be unconscious. He was not moving a muscle. There's a guy, of course, who already has survived a fractured skull. So to say that, and I have Jeff Jackson, Jim Hunt, who does the play-by-play here on WTKA for the game and done a great job for over a decade easily. He was interviewing Jeff Jackson, a good interview with the Notre Dame coach, who was not involved in the game, but said he saw the video and said it's the worst thing he's seen in hockey. And your stills brought that point home better than anything that I had seen.
Well, you know, Red, these are kids. And but Red explained it, I believe, on your show. They're told that there's a line and that you're holding a weapon. You're like a baseball player holding a bat and that there's a line. I don't know hockey. I didn't play hockey, but cross the line. But again, these guys are kids. I do think they deserve a second chance. I heard Tropp might come back. I heard Conboy is gone. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Conboy had a bit of a record himself anyway going into it. We got about a minute left here. Other stuff coming up. What else should our listeners know about your blog and victors.com? Talking to Greg Dooley on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
Sure. I don't, you know, this is the kind of thing, it's a hobby, so I kind of blog when I have time and when I can find it. But again, I think my main thing I'm working on right now is a wonderful review, hopefully a wonderful review of the 1909 season up through some of these incidents that I've talked about. And I've been working with the great Greg Kinney, the curator at the Bentley Library, who deserves his own piece, which I'm thinking about writing. In fact, Bruce Motti offered to help me out on that because he's known Greg for a long time. In fact, they collaborated on their great book, Champions of the West. So look for more of that, and that's what I'm doing.
And Greg Kinney, by the way, is one of the best archivists. I've dealt with a lot of these guys. He is by far number one. He's helped me out with every book I've written on Michigan. Guys, it's fantastic. You're right about that. So it's mvictors.com. That's mvictors.com. My guest is Greg Dooley, a proud Michigan alum who happens to be sporting a Saline Hornets baseball cap, which seems to be where all the coaches live for all the sports these days in Saline.
I had to move there. In fact, Red's grandchildren are in my daughter's class in Saline, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yep.
Red Berenson's.
The twins. Yep.
The twins. That'd be Rusty's, his fourth kid's kids.
You got it.
So there you go. The long arm of Michigan hockey. There you have it. Greg, thanks so much for coming down. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
We'll be right back here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Stay tuned for more cool sports.